To be your host today. Oh, yes, we're on target for more fun and adventure. And I'm telling you, the commitment we've made to help you to make your life better, to provide tools and inspiration. Why? Well, daily I pray. I say, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Oh, yes, that's a fun task. That'll keep me busy for this life, I'm sure. And in the process, of course, to bring to you week after week something that's going to help. And the feedback that we get from you when we're on target and your lives get better quickly, we hear from you saying,
"That was easy."
Yep, that was easy. And get ready for some wonderful, wonderful support. You know, sometimes in the midst of all the busyness of life going on, you've heard of just people getting stressed out or concerned or worried or nervous. Well, our guest today basically has written some wonderful books, and one of them is called Anxiety Sucks, and you know it. I mean, I'll tell you, there's just, it's awful. You know, if you've been feeling anxious, worried, concerned, just can sometimes be insidious, sneaks up, and it becomes a freaking nightmare to get out of. Well, until you get with some of the people who know what it's like to be in that place, sometimes we're stuck in that. Well, our guest today, Dr. Emily Smith, is amazing. When you start to learn about some of the things that she has done, and how we're going to get some help of dealing with anxiety and connectedness to joy that are going to be some powerful tools to help move through these times, you're in for a big treat. Dr. Emily Smith is very well-credentialed and well-studied, but she likes to be called Emily. She got a Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science and Wellness, and then a minor in Nutrition from Jacksonville State University. She has a Master's of Physiology and a PhD specializing in, guess what? Yeah, you'd think, okay, all this physical stuff. So what's your PhD in? Comparative Religion from the University of Sedona. So she's graduate of the Atlanta School of Massage in Clinical and Neuromuscular Massage Therapy, as well as Dr. Voder's Manual Lymph Drainage Therapy, and she is a universal yoga teacher in Sivananda Yoga, as well as Usui and Kurana Ki Reiki Master. I mean, we're talking about some powerful energy work, and can bend her basically in about any shape you want, okay? That's how flexible this woman is. Plus, for those of you that get into some of the esoteric, she is also a seven rays practitioner working directly with the Ascended Master. And with all of her studies in the health and healing field, it was still not enough to prevent her from suffering years with anxiety and panic. So, yeah, you think all this is going to take care of it. Well, guess what? She tried for a full 7 years to heal from anxiety without the help of medication. And finally, after those years and life got more difficult, she caved in and gave it a try. And it turns out that a small dose of a medication did change her life for the better. Now, she does not promote medication, but is not in any way dismiss it either anymore. So, yeah, sometimes a little bit of the right chemical altering for a temporary period can give us what we need. And she now understands that the brain is indeed an organ, and sometimes it needs medical intervention to help get it balanced. And she also understands that the mind is not the same thing as the brain, and also requires a great deal of healing and coping skills to make the combination of intervention and authentic healing possible. So, yeah, talk about someone that's been there, pulled herself out of it, has connections to the medical community because sometimes that's needed. Well, folks, you're in for a big treat. Welcome, Dr. Emily Smith.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me today. I've been looking forward to this ever since I met you.
Well, thank you. Me too. This is a big treat, and we know folks out there are just so much stress for the average person that if they're not physically very ill, they're on their way to it because of all the mental and emotional angst and stress and anxiety. Now, in the midst of all of this, one of the things that's so interesting is sometimes we keep reaching out. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help me?
Yes.
And
who's going to make it better for me? Because
yes.
You give your trust. Really, when you're looking for a lot of different people, and I was always doing this, I was always reading self-help books, I was always going to a different healer or a different doctor or a different, trying everything, literally. But what it does is you're trying to give somebody else permission for you to heal. And
mm-hmm.
even if they do an amazing job, if you haven't given every cell in your body permission to heal, you won't. You have to really understand that, first of all, I have to say, when it comes to anxiety, I truly believe that our lifestyles as a whole, the body is not really conditioned to take all the stressors that we have. You know, I'm going to speak mostly for women right now. Women weren't originally doing the mother and the working thing. This is double the whammy. This is why a lot of women are starting to lose their hair the way that men always did. The adrenals, the body, and the same for the men. The men are having to do, you know, double duty. The things that the human body was conditioned for, we have pushed so far past it. It's why everybody's pushing different balancing vitamins, herbs, supplements, free radicals, you know, things to eradicate the free radicals. But because all of the pollution and the things that we have done in the name of money has pushed our bodies into a space that's extremely difficult to handle. So even if somebody's listening to the show and they are not privy to anxiety, their body is still under a major amount of stress that I truly believe the human body was not conditioned and made for. It's why when we go to the mountains or we go on vacation, you get rid of the city energy and you feel like a different person because your body is more open to that sort of energy and that sort of understanding. You know, our minds, they aren't the same thing. The mind-body, of course, is connected. But the mind and the brain, like you said, they're not the same thing. So I want to put that out there, that I do believe that everybody is under duress, and be a little kinder with yourself and understand that everybody is in that same space. And unless you've been one of those lucky few that has enough money to go buy a house in the mountains and, you know, live out there and live on the land, you may be one of the few that don't know what we're talking about. Maybe.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
But in general life, you know, anxiety it's become a major part of life. You know, it's everywhere. It's running rampant. And you know, it's funny, it's timing. You know, my Anxiety Sucks book came out right when the economic crisis hit. And so now anxiety has become such a universal term. Whereas when I first was going through all of this, I was so secretive about it because I couldn't imagine that anybody could understand how I felt. And people always looked to me for help and guidance, and here I was on the inside, miserable. Just miserable. Sort of like, I remember the analogy of the duck on top of the water. It looks so calm, but underneath their legs are just swimming and swimming.
Yeah, you know, going
sort of
90
going
miles
in circles.
An hour.
Yes.
Ah.
So, you know, anxiety is, it's interesting because we can explain it and say, I know how you feel, but it's still extremely isolating. It's a very lonely feeling to have to go through, even if you understand now more and more that you are not alone. And I do have to say with the medication, I had actually been writing a book called From Fear to Faith. It's actually my one manuscript that is not published yet. And I started writing it when I hit the rock bottom of anxiety, where I just couldn't even function anymore, and I started writing my way out of it. And it's actually how I ever started writing in the first place. And at the end of the book, I really thought that I had healed it and proved to everybody that, you know, you can heal, and I figured out that it was my spiritual gifts, and I finally faced them and stepped in and claimed my own power, and I, you know, riding off on the white horse. And then I went through some life experiences where I just fell so far down I couldn't get myself back up anymore. And I wrote an author, his name is Tom Rutledge, who I just am eternally grateful for. He wrote the book Embracing Fear. And I have this habit when I'm reading somebody's book, if they have struck me, I write them a letter. So I've written a ton of people letters in my lifetime because I think it's really important when you think something good about somebody that you share it. Even if you assume they hear it all the time. They probably don't. So I wrote him a letter and I said, you know, I'm a phony. I'm a big fat phony liar fraud. I wrote this book and it turns out that everything I said was a lie. And, you know, I wrote this just harsh, you know, letter to him. And I said, I'm reading your book, but I'm sure it's not going to help me either because nothing can. You know, and he wrote me back like the very next day and he said, have you thought about facing your fears about medication? What is it about you that's so against medication? And he said, maybe that's the biggest fear that you need to actually embrace. And he said, the brain is an organ. If it was your heart or your liver or your kidneys, you wouldn't hesitate to take something to make you better. And he said, what is it about this that you are so against? Rethink about it and then get in touch with me. And it was because of his letter that I called my doctor and made an appointment. And I never took a full adult dose or anything, but it brought me back from the dead. Now, the same month that I started medication, I started doing sweat lodges with the Native Americans, doing purification ceremonies, and I've been sweating consistently almost every month for the last 2 years. So I keep on my path, you know.
Okay, that means that doing sweat lodges versus
sweat lodges.
Constantly perspiring?
No, yeah, not the same. No, you know what? Now I go in search of whatever scares me, and I jump into it.
There you go.
Whereas I used to run away. Now I realize that when the adrenals start kicking, and I always felt anxious, I could have taken that as excitement, but I didn't. I took it as fear.
Yeah.
Now when I see something that makes me nervous, I walked on fire the last two New Year's. At New Year's Eve at midnight, I did firewalks with these Native American people because you throw your fear into the fire, and the second you step on, you have to make it to the other side, and you only focus on the end result. So you don't try to jump off or jump, you know, you can't. He said that. He said, once you step onto these hot coals, you cannot turn back, and you can't jump off to the side. You have to do it. And he said, put your fears through here and only think about the end and make it.
Yes.
And the first year, I burnt the bejesus out of my feet. I had second-degree burns all between my toes because I had so much fear to overcome. And then last year I did it, and I danced my little happy butt across that fire. I didn't feel a thing. I ended jumping up and down, and I was ready to do the fire walk again it was amazing. But it's what we project as fear. It eats us up. It eats us alive. It really can't. It just, not that it's just the Native American ways, but I do love them very much. They consider that every animal is a sacred medicine, that every animal in the world represents a sacred message to us. You know, the Native Americans are the earth keepers. They're the keepers of the earth. They're considered the red people. And when it comes to anxiety, they call it coyote medicine, and that is the medicine of the mind, and it's the trickster. Coyote loves to make everything way bigger and more interesting and exciting, and that is the medicine of anxiety. It's the medicine of the mind, coyote. Now, what we try to do is become the medicine of the eagle, and the eagle is the medicine of the heart. And the eagle sees things from the highest perspective possible, so it's a lot more plain. It's a lot simpler. It's very truthful, but it's much more simple. So we tend to ignore that and go with the coyote. And
wow.
That is anxiety. We hear it. Let's say somebody's getting anxious and they start getting short of breath, and then they start thinking, I'm going to pass out. Something's wrong. Something's really wrong this time. You always say that. This time it might be true.
Yeah.
And you start believing all those little what ifs, and you build it and you build it. And you hear another little voice, but it's softer, and it's saying, you're just nervous. You're just trying to, you're okay. Everything's okay. And you just brush that to the side because you're too busy listening to, no, what if this time really? What if this is the time that I'm going down? This is it, right? This is, and you always say that. But that's the battle of the eagle and the coyote.
Ah, okay.
See, that little itty-bitty voice, the one that's calm and rational, sees it from a higher perspective. That's your heart. It's even in loving relationships we fight between the heart and the mind, right? My heart tells me that I should stay with this person. My head tells me, get the heck out. Right? Same thing.
Yeah.
Heart, mind. Ego medicine, coyote medicine. One is of truth, one is of a trickster. We don't realize and we don't embrace that we as humans actually really enjoy drama. I don't like to admit that, but we really sort of do. We like the excitement, the adventure.
Okay.
So when it comes to a simple truth, we sort of go, you know what? If it's too good to be true, it probably is. But that's not really true. There's amazing things out there. If you'd get out of your coyote head and jump up with the eagle and take a little flight, it's a lot more fun and it's a lot simpler. So I got to say, as far as the anxiety, I really feel like I have been brought back from the dead. And it's why I am just so happy. I'm just thrilled. Every night I sit outside under the moon and I give thanks and praise for the day. And I don't care what the day was. Not every day is going to be your best day in the whole world, but the fact that you're still here and you're breathing and you're able to sit outside and enjoy, that's a big deal. That's a gift that goes wasted all the time because we're too busy thinking about the big, big things.
Yeah, so that would be one of your tips for people that are frightened or concerned or anxious, would be to take, 1 minute, 2 minutes, some amount of time at the end of a day just to connect to nature, whatever that is around them, a tree, grass, something like that, and hold a plant, I guess, if nothing else.
Well, then you can actually, here's the thing. If you do it at the end of the day, you can go in and actually sleep because you have let go of everything. Let's say that you start the day. Let's one-up it. I do it at the end of the day because I love that. I love being under the moon because the moon is so special to me. So I resonate better at night because I love sitting under the moon and stars. And even, this is a little trick, the sound of the crickets, the Native Americans say that it balances all the body's chakras, all the body's energy centers. They use that sound. That's why a lot of times they use the sound of the rattle and they circle it to make the sound of the crickets to balance your body's energy.
Oh.
So then I sit out there and I breathe this incredible clean air because it's always cleaner at night. I look up at the moon. I look at the stars and think about just how small some things really are, because we get so wrapped up in our world. And, and really, in truth, some of it's really insignificant. Some of it isn't. We're all incredibly sacred parts of this planet. And I wouldn't dismiss that for anything in the world. Everybody has a value, and nothing would be the same without you in it. Nothing.
But people don't really
value. It's a big statement.
Well, especially given the enormity of the universe and that we're so teeny tiny, it's kind of nice to go, wait a minute, yes, we might be in comparison to the entire universe, and on planet Earth, our existence matters.
It absolutely matters. I think people get so caught up in things and they don't realize that nothing in the world would be the same without you. Nothing would be the same in the world without me. I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't be here. Right?
And what are some of the ways that people can help be reminded of their importance, their value?
It really does have to start within yourself, but people have a very difficult time doing that. I even suggest little rituals, starting with looking in the mirror. A lot of people don't look at themselves. Did you know that?
Oh.
Did you know that a lot of people really and truly do not look themselves square in the eyes in a mirror? Ever?
No.
I cannot even begin to tell you how many people are very uncomfortable with their own reflection. And what they do instead is they pick on their body or what they look like. But that's a defense mechanism. It's because they can't face themselves. There are people that don't like to be alone because they don't like their own company. There are people that have never spent the time to get to know who they are. And if they don't really like who they are, they haven't taken the time to change that.
Yeah.
So,
that's really important.
It's I remember listening to a friend of mine, Michael Colley, and he wrote the book Code of the Third Millennium Warrior. And I went to a conference listening to him talk, and I don't remember anything he said but one statement that changed me forever. He said, "Am I a good person? Am I a good man?" Absolutely. Why? Because I work at it every single day. And I remember thinking in my head, I would love to be able to say that about myself. Because at the time, I don't think I could have. And it took years, but I started really cleaning house. I started writing letters to people that I owed apologies to years ago. I did what I call a karma cleanse. I gave letters of thanks and praise and of apologies. I faced up to everything that you push back in the back of your mind and wish you had the guts to deal with, but you don't even want to bother somebody else because it's been so long. I brought it all up. I cleaned it all out. And then I started looking at myself and thinking about, who do I want to be?
Right.
Who
now,
would
this
make
thing
me?
That, yeah? The thing you're mentioning, Emily, about this karma cleanse or making another way, could you call it making peace with your past?
Absolutely.
Can you give some hints? Because I know there's a part of a 12-step programs where a person does what they can to make amends.
I did the 12 steps for my anxiety. Yeah.
Ah.
In my From Fear to Faith book, I did the 12-step program for the anxiety. When I say I tried everything, I really tried everything.
Yeah.
That book is going to be published this year, actually, From Fear to Faith, but it's got the 12-step program in it. And that I tried to apply to anxiety because I've always heard that you can use the 12-step for anything.
Yeah.
So I went through the whole 12 steps to try to rid my fear, and that was part of it, was, making amends and making peace with your past. So many of us take the burdens on of other people just because we almost don't know what it's like not to, and we're conditioned to do that. But at some point, you give your apologies, you do the best you can, and then you step away. Step out of it. You do the best you can. You've done what you can do. Now you detach. That's the hard part. Living a life without a lot of attachments is much more peaceful. Because you're taking on other people's stuff.
Sure. Well, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, there's been more than a few times in interacting that I think myself, my listeners, all the people out there can relate to having had an interaction with someone, completed that interaction, they went away, but felt worse from it. What the heck happened?
And
it's like carrying away some of their stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Or even in relationships when you stay way past the expiration date. They don't have to be instant relationships. Stay past the expiration date. And you gnaw on the bone. My friend used to say that all the time. My beautiful friend Ashley would always say, I keep staying and gnawing on the bone. That person's gone. But I'm still here, chewing on the bones. I can't, it's like we just can't let go because it didn't go the way we wanted it to.
Yeah.
So they left and we're still sitting going, no, I'm not done. I'm going to replay this in my head another million bazillion times until I feel like I have just exhausted myself. And then finally have no choice but to move on because they've left a long time. Those people don't think about it the way we do. They're not still thinking about us.
Yeah, well,
we are.
You made mention, and I think this is where some people can turn to you. I don't know if it's shared in your books, and there's, four books that you've done?
Five.
Awaken, five books, Stretch Therapy, Stretch Therapy 2, Come Into Being
Anxiety
with the Guided Meditation. And,
then my last book, my most recent, is Thank You, Mr. Wrong, and I wrote it with my best friend who's an improv comedian. And then I had eight other women write offerings. And one of the things I talk about in my chapter is, did you stay way past the expiration date of your relationship? And that book is a hilarious book, but it's also what it is that the only constant in any relationship is you. So as much as we don't love our past or things that we've been through, the only thing you can change is you. And that goes in the world. That's not just lovers and partners. It's the only constant is you. You cannot force or even ask anybody to change. You can inspire change, but you can't impose your will on anybody else.
Mm.
You know,
okay.
So that's not just in relationships, but it's true. You know, we fall in love with the potential. We're not in love with the reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just life.
Well, one of the things to me that I think is interesting, and I this is kind of a tangential thing, but maybe has some validity when you talk about imposing your will.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like Dr. Marshall Rosenberg talks about communication skills in his nonviolent communication studies, and one of the things that he makes mention of is that communication patterns in his studies have been implemented on the planet for thousands of years to make people subservient to authority. And so,
yeah. In
essence, when we have authority figures that do basically inflict or implement their will upon us, it would be understandable why people would then think, okay, well, someone has basically had their way with me. They've implemented their will. They're telling me what to do. It would make perfect sense then for them to think, okay, well, now I'm in a relationship. Maybe it's my turn to assert my will and have someone else dance to my tune for a while.
Or the opposite. You look for a person that fills that same space that still talks to you like that.
Yeah, or,
you know,
or someone else.
Parents. Yeah, like, oh,
tell
like,
me.
You know, your parent may tell you things when you're growing up, and they condition you. And then when they leave, you keep up that voice in your head. And then sometimes you look for a partner that does the same junk. If you haven't done the cleansing and changing.
Wow.
Then that's exactly. You know, I remember, like, my college boyfriend, our big argument was I used to say to him, I am not going to be your mother. Stop trying to make me be your mother. I don't want to tell you what to do. I don't want to do this. You know, it was like such an argument. And by the end of the 4 years we dated, that's exactly what I became. Was a motherly figure, you know, where it was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to date somebody where I'm telling you where to go and what to do. You know,
so
originally it was clear.
That's so funny. So even
I totally wanted
telling you by the even when you were telling him you don't want to be his mother, you were
you're
then telling
the
him what to do.
You are still being the mother, and it's also funny because, you know, I think a lot of people don't catch on, myself included. If I would have just shown my actions and never spoken, I don't want to be your mother, and just instead stepped aside and let him figure it out and let me figure it out, it would have been a much better combination instead of me turning into some crazy motherly woman who, you know, got really excited with all that power, you know. Power is it's a funny thing, you know. You don't want it, and then when you have it, you're like, oh, I forgot. I actually really enjoy this. I like being in charge.
I told
you to call me. Where were you?
I want my way, and I want it now.
And you know what? I'm very good at that. Well, and people with anxiety, they don't ever want to look like they're out of control. That's their big thing, is control. So you do want your way. You want it exactly like you want it to be. You want to appear to others exactly like you want to appear. And if any of that gets off course, ooh, you are just cruising for a bruising. You're down for the count. God forbid you look human in front of anybody.
Okay.
You know, I still have a little bit of an issue with that where I don't. One of my friends said, he goes, I know you don't mean to be, but you're a master manipulator. I cannot read you. And I said, I don't mean to be. And he said, I know, but you don't tell anybody when you're under distress until you've already dealt with it. And then you come back and you say, oh, I was really anxious and I had such a hard time. And he said, why don't you ever say that at the beginning of it? You know, but I'm so used to handling it on my own because it is such an isolated experience. And I still have that conditioning in me. I still don't like to look silly. Like, I don't mind being crazy and funny, but I don't like looking out of control, and I don't like looking, I don't like looking vulnerable.
Yeah.
Even though it's like the most endearing thing in the world, and I'll take clients and do emotional release and hear their worst, most guarded secrets that they've never told anybody in the world, and I look at them with the most loving eyes. But God forbid I turn around and do that.
Ah, now I'm hearing you mentioned some techniques when we spoke before the show about doing some powerful emotional release work for clients, and I didn't know, is that only done in your office, or can you help people calling you from all over the country or the world?
Oh, I could certainly help people while talking, but it's a lot easier if I have my hands on them, for sure, because spirit tends to really speak. I get into a totally different space. when my hands are touching somebody. I'm a completely different person. I'm very in presence, very open to spiritual communication, and I feel in my body what the person feels.
Yeah.
And I can do it verbally, but not the way that I can with hands on.
Okay.
You know, hands on is amazing. So I've definitely, emotional release is the most beautiful gift of healing in the world, because you cry hysterically. You feel like you've been beaten up. You are exhausted. By the time you get off that table, you feel like you've been run through the ringer. You're completely exhausted, but you wake up the next day like a new person. And the thing I love about tears, laughter does this too, so does yelling, so does coughing, but tears are a physical manifestation of pain leaving your body. You cannot put the tears back in.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Important.
So
yeah.
When it happens, you're making room to be refilled. That's why I like my hands there, because then I can do the Reiki. I can refill that part that's just been cleaned out with something very loving, instead of those years of torture and pain and sadness and self-sabotage. Now you walk out and it's been filled, and then you go home and you sleep because you feel like a rag doll, like nothing's even functioning properly after that, and then you wake up and you're like a new person. And that's what I love about emotional release. To me, you're only going to get that kind of massive release once. You might get it again off somebody, but generally you can't plan it. I've had people call me because their friend had an emotional release, and they call me with that intention, and I say, you know, the chances of that pulling off like that are slim to none if you're making a plan for it. It's really hard to like, okay, I'm going to schedule that I'm going to have this huge emotional release today. You know, unless you're like already in it or it's completely random, it's very difficult to pull. I mean, you're pulling,
I was curious, is how clients, come to you or what resources you would be able to provide. Because I know you have a download of intrapersonal therapy and different resources that are available for people.
Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of resources. I just think that kind of authentic healing it's rare. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's one of my gifts when it happens. You know, it doesn't mean that I can guarantee it's going to happen. Now, generally, like, I'm blessed that some oncologists here in Atlanta do send me some clients that are just starting chemotherapy. You know they're going to have an emotional release. I mean, you know it, they know it. They come here knowing that because they're going through the biggest crisis of their life. They're gonna have the release. It's not a question. But, you know, otherwise, it's not generally something that you can just plan ahead for. You know, it's an incredible gift. Most of the time, if I have that intense, I won't let people pay. You know, they can make an appointment, and then all of a sudden I'll hear spirit go, not this one. You know, it's like, oh, okay. You know.
Yeah.
Not saying that I just run around doing free work, although I would prefer it. I would very much prefer not to take any kind of money for any kind of healing work. I think it's a higher level when you don't. Just, you know, sometimes we have to exchange for the time.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's important. Now, in your book, Anxiety Sucks,
mm-hmm.
are there some, like, steps, do this, do that, do the other thing that a person is dealing with anxiety? Why would
there are. Breathing techniques. I do a whole chapter on breathing. I do a chapter on the levels of severity of anxiety. I do a chapter on body symptoms, what's twitching. I do another chapter on numbing, you know, different things that you can distract your mind with, and also understanding. Here's the thing that I have come to in my understanding with anxiety. We tend to tell everybody that you have to get to the root cause of something. That's true, but that's only to be able to analyze where it came from. That doesn't mean you heal because you now understand the source. What we have to learn is not just the root of something, then we have to learn how to apply the information gained into our lives to make a healing occur.
Ah, that's
we
huge.
We cannot just analyze something and go, okay, you've got to get to the root of this. Well, what do you do with that? Okay, so now I've got the reason where it came from, but what does that change? Just knowledge,
yeah,
but you know. You know, it's not just point A to point B. And I think that's, I spent years going to all these different healers and that's all they would talk about with me. And I knew exactly where it came from. I'm a textbook open and shut case. Just because I'm textbook and it's easy to figure me out doesn't mean that it makes me feel any better. It doesn't mean that the anxiety lightens up. It doesn't. You know, it's understanding what to do with that kind of information. And each person has different triggers. and they have different ways to release. For a lot of people, I find that knowing that you are not the only person that has that body symptom. I used to get numbing in the face, and that would freak me out. And I never met anybody that would get it. And then all of a sudden, this girl at a Christmas party confides in me, and I hadn't confided in her. She said, oh, I just came upstairs, and I have a numb face. I get really anxious. It was like she just handed me, like, a tunnel to God directly, because it felt so incredible to know that somebody in the world had the same symptoms as me, and I wasn't as nuts as I thought.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, I mean, and it did. It did change it. When I would get that, I would think about her every time and realize I'm not alone. And I do think that's a huge part, because anxiety is lonely. It's scary. It's isolating. It's vulnerable. It's heartbreaking. It's worrisome. You know, all you think about is what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. And then you're not available to anybody else. So you're a parent, you're a lover, you've got all these things, and you just start pushing people further and further away because they cannot possibly understand. And all you're thinking about is what's wrong with me, what's my problem? You know, I have a client. Yes, I have a client who comes to me, and he says he thinks that we're twin souls because I completely understand his anxiety. And he says to me, I'm convinced that something's wrong with me, but just nobody's found it out yet. I'm convinced this, and I know that affirmatively that's a terrible thing to say, but you know what? It is. It's a terrible thing, and on one side you can say, well, then you're going to create it. But on the other side, at least he can be honest about it. At least he can come to me and go, this is how I feel, and I don't just jump into my, oh, you know, that's not a good statement, because then he's still going to feel that way. He's just not going to be honest anymore. And if you're actually honest about it, you can start changing it.
There you go. Oh, that's
important.
You see
what I mean? This is all very, it's very touchy of figuring out, because what I've found through my years of going to different people is that a lot of people, not meaning to, have played me like a puppet because I gave them rule over my opinions. Their opinions mattered more than my own. I gave them jurisdiction on my own thoughts. They curbed my thoughts. They curbed my behavioral patterns. They didn't mean to, but I would go to them for healing, and so they became a resource more important than myself. And so even though I understand, you know, how to speak, and I write articles on changing your speech to yourself, it doesn't mean that I would ever stop somebody from letting them speak what they feel. Because if you do and you start changing, you're judging them, and then, boom, they're isolated even more.
Oh, ow. Now, on your website, and I guess there's a couple of them that we would want people to know about, because there's a... these would be some of the ways that they could find some of your resources, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I love the name of one of your websites, folks. You're going to love this. www.anxietysucks.net. Okay, that one, you just got to like that. There's no doubt about it. And then another one. This one is quite beautiful, and folks, you got to go to this website just to see the photo of Dr. Emily there.
My friend Michael Colley painted that thing behind me.
Mm-hmm. And that's
beautiful.
Said Shiva.
That is Lakshmi.
Lakshmi, rather. Thank you.
Lakshmi is the painting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lakshmi is for abundance, the flow of prosperity.
Okay, and is that in your home, in your office?
I do, you know what? I only have a copy of it on my CD. I actually should own that thing because he's got it on canvas. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so folks, if you
I'm
go.
I'm going to tell him so.
Yeah, exactly. Hey.
I'm going to copy.
www.spiritwavehealing.com. And that's where there's more resources and the ability to blog there with Emily. And
yes, and I have two CDs out, actually. I have a new one. It's a morning and an evening affirmation meditation CD for anxiety. It's called Create Your Day, Celebrate Your Night. The nighttime one, obviously, is to help you sleep, to help you get into a better space within yourself and release the day because the day is done. And the morning one, I actually did in one take without a script. I asked Spirit to just guide me and take me through. And it's a beautiful way. You can just listen to it while you're getting ready for the day. But it's just a better way to create your highest intentions and your best attitude before you even leave the house.
Mm.
So that's I love it. I love my Come Into Being CD, but this morning and night is like it's everything that I wish that I could really help people with all the time. you know, I listen to it myself, and I don't criticize it when I listen to it because I love what the mission is, you know, and,
okay.
and knowing that, you know, everybody, and it's not just if you have anxiety. I mean, anxiety accompanies everything nowadays, but everybody needs, or not needs, I don't like the needs, but, you know, everybody could benefit from putting yourself into the most positive, loving space, an open space before you even get out of the house, because then you can really view things in a much lighthearted way. You know, you can look at work as the most dreadful thing in the world, or you can look at it as something that you love to do. If you don't love what you do, maybe it's time to look around and maybe make those changes.
Mm.
For me, I can't wait to see the people. I created a life where people meet and greet me with a hug. They come in hugging me, they leave hugging me. People are, you know, counting down. You know, oh, I've been waiting all week to come see you. You know, it's a wonderful life that I have. Doesn't mean that I've got a lot of money or all the things that I've always wanted, but I am happier than most people I've ever come across now.
Well, that says something, folks. When you get an opportunity to study with or learn from someone who's really genuinely gone through a lot and then created a life where they are truly happy and doing daily rituals, daily routines. We don't have to call them rituals, but routines where they are now getting their needs met and the warmth and affection and joy that most of us absolutely yearn for. And Dr. Emily Smith here, whether you go to spiritwavehealing.com or whether you go to, what is it,
anxietysucks.net.
You're in for a big treat. That's just fabulous.
You know, and it's funny that you say that. I am single. And I'm not saying that like, hey man, I'm single, I am not financially in the place I want to be, but when I say I'm happier than most people I've ever met, I mean it, and it's not from anybody else. When I say I'm single, it's only to say, this is something that Spirit and I came through together. It's not because somebody came into my life and now I'm so happy. There's nobody to blame or to give credit to but myself and God, that's it. You know, my whole spiritual team of warriors of light and myself. That's the creation. You know, whatever situation you are in, you can still find the most amazing happiness and peace. It all really does happen inside. And then it carries out into the world. So,
yeah.
You know, if you are yearning and longing for things, you guys, you know, really find a mentor or find some path that helps you to wake up to your best life, because we really are wasting the most valuable, amazing thing, and that is just simply being alive. The blessings there, you don't have to find them in the bank.
Yes. Now, I'm wondering, Dr. Emily, do people connect to some of your lifestyle through blogging with you or the books? Because you're talking about some things that are simple, but critically important, crucially important for someone to live a happy life. And,
yes.
And here you are, not just talking about it, you're the living role model of it.
I am in it. Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of looking at, well, how can people kind of connect with that so that they can do what they can to begin to calibrate their lives? Well, okay, I did one thing more like Dr. Emily. I did another thing, and geez, guess what? I'm feeling 5% happier or a little bit or a lot happier.
You know, I'm on Facebook, and I leave a little affirmation every day. Even if I'm having a hard day, it doesn't matter, because that's not what I'm there to do, right? And I have people from, like, high school, people I haven't seen in years writing me letters saying, I always feel better when I read this. You know, little things. If you don't like what you see, change your perspective. You know, I do things like that. You know, you always have a choice. You know, please. If you're living in this country especially, never doubt that you always have a choice. It's, you know what, I would say the best thing you guys could do is start surrounding yourself with spiritually like-minded people. Be around people that, you know, they ask you in yoga, how much time a day do you spend in the company of the wise? Be around as many people as you can that make you feel better for having been around them. And also understand, and this is in my Anxiety Sucks book, when people are feeling down and out, they think that they are lacking. But if you can think of anybody in your life, anybody you've even met that inspires you, that makes you feel something special, and you see in them something amazing, understand that there is no possible way that you could see that in them if you didn't already possess it in you. It's a law of the universe. I wouldn't see the goodness in you, Ken, if I didn't have it. You wouldn't see the goodness in me if you didn't have it.
Yes, when I've received compliments from people, I will often respond by is saying to them, if they say, well, you're kind or compassionate, and say, well, it takes one to know one.
Yep. And it's true. They can't see the beauty and light in somebody else and not have it in themselves. It's just that now we have to really start changing our perspective. Instead of harping on the things that we don't love about ourselves, we need to start opening up to the idea that we're actually pretty darn great. And it's not an arrogant thing. It's just, hey, I'm a good person. I have a big heart, and I can, you know, I can be truthful and honest with myself. Therefore, I can be available to you. Does that mean that I could? You know, somebody said that to me the other day. I said something really positive, and they said, wow, you really can make somebody feel worse. And I said, how does that make somebody feel worse? And I said, do you want me to really make you feel better? And I went through this list of all the things that aren't really good in my life. And I said, I could say all that, but guess what? None of that matters to me. You know, they were like, ah, okay, I gotcha. You know, it's like, of course I can harp on that stuff, but why would I? For what purpose?
Well, here's an alternative, and I'm just kind of wondering, because we were earlier talking about being so many people in the culture being addicted to drama, and some of the idea that you hear from time to time is that by watching drama and seeing someone worse off than yourself, you feel better because, by comparison, you don't have it as bad as they do.
Yes, I did that with my anxiety books for all the self-help. It was like, please, somebody tell me if you were as crazy as me. Just please, somebody, please let me know that I'm not the worst. Because I remember going to a therapist, a psychologist, no less, to get EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing,
yeah,
or reprogramming for my anxiety. And she met me a few times, and I had to fill out all this paperwork. And then I finally went to her to start the process. And do you know what she says to me before we even get started?
No.
I don't know if this will work on you because you're one of the worst I've ever worked with.
All right. You love that encouragement.
I mean, thanks for setting it. And I knew in my head, like Spirit said to me, she's new with this, and she just put it on you in case she doesn't do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I was devastated. And she said, well, are you ready? And I said, no, I'm not ready.
Are you ready?
I said, are
ready
you telling me that you are a psychologist, you work with people, and I'm one of the...
Oh.
To see the other side. I don't want to have to make up stuff to make you think I'm normal. I'm telling you the stuff I don't tell anybody else, and now you're telling me I'm the worst? And she said, well, you don't breathe, and you don't take breaks, and is this bad? You catastrophize everything. And I thought, well, thanks. You just made it way worse by telling me I'm the worst. You know, it was heartbreaking to me. I went through it, though. I mean, it was a good switch.
Oh, okay. So she still treated you even though you were the worst.
Yeah, yep. And she couldn't believe how calm I was at the end. And, you know, all of a sudden she didn't put that stuff on me anymore. And I realized that I was, you know, worse than I thought I was at the time. However, I also realized that that was her own insecurity talking, and she couldn't take responsibility for it, so she pushed it on to me. And that's
not the way
we want to treat people.
Yeah, so if in the intake interview you feel worse rather than better, you may want to consider going to a different therapeutic process.
You know what? Go to a different. The only reason I went to her in the first place is because it was what my insurance covered. You know? And then I said, that's not really worth it. You know, but in truth, you know, if you guys are feeling bad, don't put that stuff on other people. You know why people trust me, my clients? Because if I don't know something, I will let you know that I don't know, and I'll let you know that I'll find out. But I am not a know-it-all. I don't know everything. So if you ask me something, I have no problem saying, you know what? I'm not really sure. That's the kind of people you want. Not saying that's just me, but, you know, to have somebody put it on to me. Yeah. Just tell me. You know, if you're new at this, because I had already heard from her senior person that she was new at it. She didn't tell me that. But if you're new at something, just sort of let somebody know instead of putting it on them. You're really one of the worst I've ever worked with, so I'm not sure this is going to work for you. Translates to me as, I'm new at this, I'm really nervous, I might screw it up, so it's going to be your fault if we do. I'm not going to take responsibility for this or blame.
And would you help me? I've been exploring the two websites as we've been on the air.
Okay.
Looking for the CD that you made mention that we could invest in.
Uh-huh.
And
is it on there?
And I was trying to, I hadn't successfully found it. I'd seen on the Spirit Wave Healings where there was a bunch of different things. I didn't know if it was on there or if you're going to be putting this on there. So
I need to put it on there because I just had finally got the CD copied right before I met you in Denver. And
okay.
I've really, you know what I've been doing is just handing them out because I think they're so helpful. So I bet I haven't
sure.
even put them on the website for people to
okay,
to order.
Okay, I see the one, something about, what is it, come into being.
Yeah, that one's up. Oh, I'll have to add in the Create Your Day, Celebrate Your Night because it's a really fantastic CD, especially if you are going through stressful times.
And most of us are, folks. The whole planet is about to have a major shift, and
yes,
then we're talking about global warming and global financial crisis, and
oh,
all
but you know where all that goes to? The biggest upswing
what?
We've ever seen.
Ah, there you go.
It's going to go down, but it's going to be the biggest upswing that we have ever in our lifetimes could fathom. So all the stuff that's going down, you guys, keep on going because joy lives on the other side of hell. But I'll tell you, the Native American prophecies, it's setting itself up for the biggest pendulum upward swing we could possibly imagine. So hang in there.
Ah, and now would you share with us, as we're getting in the last few minutes here, things about some of these different books, because, I mean, there's a book about anxiety, there's Awakened, which is an awakening to, what, higher spiritual connections?
Awaken is based on my doctoral dissertation, actually. The dissertation that I did was A Common Thread Among Religions, A Way to Peace. The only thing that no religion disputes is the presence of angels. Now, they have different ideas of what angels are. But there is no religion in the world that disputes the presence of angels as a messenger to spirit to God.
Mm.
And so in the Awaken book, what I do, it's sort of controversial. You know, if you're highly religious, you're probably not going to love this book. If you are questing and searching and like to jump out of the box, you're going to love this book. What it does is it compares. I don't bash anybody, by no means, but it compares the different religions and what they view as angels and such. It also offers up what are ascended masters, what are elementals, what are angels, what are archangels, what are, you know, what are some of the spiritual elements and things that maybe we haven't learned to this point. The other part is that we are still in the world fighting the same really dumb battle that we have been fighting for over 2,000 years, and that is trying to get everybody to see God or spirit through our own eyes. And it's a waste of time. It's an absolute waste. You know what? Help people get on their own quest, and they'll find a very peaceful space. Try to make them see your way. They're going to keep perpetuating the wars. You know, you go to any church, and the minister, and I love church, I really do, but the minister's always going to try to get you to see spirit the way they do, the way they understand it. And you're giving up your own precious gift of going questing. If you want to talk to God, you have a direct line. You got his direct number. Stop using other people's phones to get there, you know. So that's really what Awaken is about, is understanding that you have within you your own capacity to find your own spiritual faith, not through anyone else.
Mm. Wow. That's important. So
very.
It doesn't condemn any religions. It just invites people to discover their own personal connection, whatever religion they're in.
Absolutely. And I do think, and what I say in the book is, if you go on a spiritual quest and you wind up in the exact same spot you're in now, congratulations, because now you actually successfully own that spot. It's yours. You can claim it. You've done work. You've questioned. You know, I look at a lot of younger people, and they believe exactly what their parents and ministers have told them to believe, and they haven't even had time yet to question. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that have turned so far away from faith because of always being told what to believe or believed in being condemned for everything they ever do. You know, that same college boyfriend that tried to make me act like his mother, if we had any argument, his response was, fine, I'm going to hell. It was like, what? Where did that even come in? What are you talking about?
Geez. And sometimes people go to the bar.
Yeah. Fine, I'm
going
to hell.
Further. Okay.
You know what? I went to college in a very podunky town in Mississippi first. And they used to have a drink called Walk Me Down, Sweet Jesus.
Oh, good.
Oh, Lordy. But,
there
you
know,
wow.
Really, well, Dr. Emily,
find your own love, yeah.
This is so amazing. We could just go on for a long time because it is so fun hearing about you and the health that you have. I want to, as we wrap up, remind people to visit two of the websites, spiritwavehealing.com and anxietysucks.net.
And you can find me on Facebook, too, just Emily Smith.
Okay, and go to Emily Smith.
Facebook. Yep.
Okay. So you can get some of her daily
goodness. Be my friend. Yes, I try to do a daily something positive every day and try to remind us all that we are in this together.
Oh, this is beautiful. Emily, thank you for taking
time out
of your
busy schedule. Thank you so much for having me. What a beautiful blessing.
Oh,
thank you.
Well,
and thank you, everybody who listened. And Ken, I can't wait to see you and talk with you soon.
Well, thank you. That's mutual. And beloved listeners, wishing you a wonderful, blessed day. And until we meet again next week, God bless, and goodbye for now. Let go and let God. Let go.